Welcome to Robin's Nest, episode 2.
Hi.
This is Zoe, my youngest daughter, my second child. And first, I wanted to, before we get into Zoe, I just really wanted to thank everybody for their support and their interest in my podcast. It's super exciting for me. We had over 100 listens last week with Arlie, and I'm just really excited to have this platform to be able to talk to some of my favorite people and to share some of my favorite people with all of you. So thank you so much.
Even my own friends listened. So
your friends listened?
Yeah, some of my friends listened.
That's awesome.
I know.
That's really cool. So I want to introduce Zoe, who is, as I said, my second child and my greatest teacher in life, and my mini me. We can't forget that. Yeah. We look exactly alike, and we are exactly alike in many, many ways.
A lot of ways.
Yeah. So I was wondering if you, Zoe, first I want to thank you so much for doing this with me. I know you're very, very busy.
And I'm very nervous about this, though. I feel like I am famous. I'm talking to a famous person right now.
Oh my goodness. I don't think so, but it's really just your mom.
Yeah,
it's just being recorded for all to hear. Did I tell you that a couple people listened from two different countries, Ireland and some other country? Yeah, I know.
Feel better?
I was making fun of Arlie last week when she was joking about, you know, Temple is in Philadelphia. And I said, oh yeah, for all those people in Australia. Well, apparently
Ireland.
Other countries, Ireland, and there was another. I can't remember what the other one was, but I couldn't believe it.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? What's your major? Where are you? What's your life plan? Just kind of let people know who you are.
Okay. So I'm Zoe. I'm at Temple University. I'm 18. So this is my freshman year. I am currently going for theater education. So I should be getting a theater major and a super minor in English and a master's of education degree to teach drama and English for grades 7 to 12 when I graduate. Should I say the life plan?
Yeah, tell the listeners the life plan. They're dying to know.
Of course. Okay. So I have a funny life plan. My realistic life plan is just kind of get a job as I go and see what happens. But my ideal life plan would be when I get out of college to join some kind of touring company of a show, or just perform and travel, like maybe on a cruise line. Something like that.
Wait, people may not know. Some people will know, but not everyone knows that you are a performer. You sang at the Phillies game. Mm. You were the lead in the High School Musical in your junior year. And you are a very talented singer and actress and performer. So I think that's an important little piece to know about you. It's very much a part of who you are.
Yes, I am a performer, act, sing, dance, musical theater, all the things. For my life plan, when I first graduate college, I would like to immediately get into some kind of touring company. And from there, meet the love of my life.
So whoever he or she may be.
Or they. From there, I will meet them, travel the world with them, performing and doing what I love in my 20s, and then eventually get married, have kids, and settle down being a theater teacher somewhere, director, acting teacher, something like that. So that's the ideal life plan. Again, not very realistic.
Realistic if you're Zoe, because what has been true about your life from the day you were born is that really you get most of the things that you set out to do. You just have that luck of the Irish, if you will, only you're Jew.
It's like your listeners from Ireland.
Exactly. There you go. You know, you tend to decide what you want in your life and it just kind of manifests in your life. So it does not surprise me. It will not surprise me if everything that you are dreaming of happens for you, because up to this point, that's pretty much how it's gone.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I do have a lot of good luck.
Yes. Like, for example, the time that you were a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, and we were at a carnival, and I told you you only had a certain number of tickets and you had to choose which rides and which activities you wanted to do. And so you did that. And then at the end, you only had 3 tickets left and you wanted to both go on a ride and also get your face painted. And I told you you had to choose because you only had 3 tickets left. So you chose face painting, and then you were hysterical because you really also wanted to go on the ride. And then as we're leaving and we're going through the field to get to the car, what do we find?
Tickets.
Tickets for you to be able to go back to do what you want to do, because that is kind of the story of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I just get things because I'm lucky. Like, I also put in a lot of hard work.
And not in that case.
Not in the scenario, but
yes, you like, do
theater and stuff. I also am very passionate about all the things that I love. So, you know, theater, I also am a big like social change advocate. So stuff like that, yes. I put a lot of my energy into. So it's not just luck. Some of it's luck, but it's not.
True. What do they say? It's luck and opportunity, preparation plus opportunity, something like that.
That makes sense.
Preparation plus opportunity. So that when that moment comes, you're ready for it. You know, like when that opening shows up.
Right.
So did you listen to last week's podcast?
Of course I did.
What were your thoughts about your sister's podcast?
Well, so I went out to dinner with my sister last night and we were talking about it. And I was like, I just found it so funny how you were like, when Zoe goes on the podcast, she's going to have some different things to say. Like, we just had very different childhood experiences, not in a necessarily bad way, just very different. Mm-hmm. So when I was listening to it, I was just, that's what I mean. Oh, and the other thing, Mom, when you said your whole, what was the store that you were talking about? That you had
Wegmans.
Wegmans. I literally that day went to Bagel Hut and had such a positive, Bagel Hut is a place on campus that where you can get bagels and it's delicious. Anyone that goes to Temple, please go to Bagel Hut.
Shout out to Bagel Hut.
Shout out. But I had such a pleasant experience. I wanted to tell everyone. And I was like, this is how we're similar.
We are so similar. Well, we love something.
I need to tell everyone how much Bagel Hut is amazing.
Right. The thing is, we're equal opportunity tellers, right? Like, if we love it, we need everyone to know. And if we hate it, we need everyone to know. We just need everyone to know.
I just need the attention. I need people to understand. Where I'm coming from.
I understand. So why don't you tell, well, me really, but the listeners can be listening in, I guess. what your feelings were about growing up Neckowitz. You know, what were some of the highs and lows for you? What worked for you? What didn't work for you?
Sure. So I think that the highs were, I never questioned how much I was loved. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, is a very important thing. And it has really shaped who I am because anyone that knows me knows that I don't really settle for people that don't give me the love or respect I deserve, which I think was taught from you guys because I'd always been told, you know, you're great, you're, you know, whatever. And like, you deserve nothing but the best kind of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
reach for the stars.
And I think that that has manifested into, you know, my real life in the sense that, like, you know, I don't settle with my friends, my relationships, anything like that. I always want to call people out, just like you would do in my childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, we both don't let things go. Mm-hmm.
I'm working on it. I would like to just say at 52 years old, I've gotten a lot better at letting things go than I was in my 20s for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that I will let go, but things that are important to me. I mean, you know, we both, I think, are very, you know, I'm not going to let this go if it's something that's important to me.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So That was that. So that was my main high, I'll say.
Okay.
My main low is I'm a very free spirit. Mm-hmm. And I really, you know, being in college, like I've, you know, my mom knows this, but for the listeners, I have been looking forward to going to college for a long time because I am just the type of person that wants to be on my own. I don't want people to tell me what to do.
You want to do things your way.
I want to do things my way. And if it's wrong, let me be wrong. I'm not interested if it's not wrong. Let me learn in my own time. So, and you know, your parenting style, you and dad's was, you know, not really let her learn her own way in some senses. Like some of it I would say was you wanted to make sure that we, I don't know how to explain this. Like you wanted to make sure that, you raised me to be a certain type of way and raise me right. Mm-hmm. And
whatever that means.
But like, I think that that didn't always work for me because I don't, for example, you would not say that you're a strict parent, but for me, it felt that way sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think that in that sense, it was different because, you know, Arlie, she talked about how, you know, your structure on top of her structure was sometimes mm-hmm. difficult, and for me it wasn't like I had a structure, but mm-hmm. I just wasn't interested in it. I wasn't interested in the structure at all.
That was definitely my experience with you as well, that yeah. You know, I had certain ideas about the way I wanted a parent from the very beginning, and you just were not interested in my style of parenting mm-hmm. and were very resistant to it. And then your resistance caused a lot of frustration in me. And then my frustration caused you to feel angry and frustrated with me. And you know, that's how it went. And I was so excited for you to go to college because I really knew how important it was for you to do it your way. And I mean, you have absolutely just blown us out of the water in terms of how well you're managing things. Not that you're perfect, not that, you know, everything has just gone perfectly, you know, step one to step two, but especially in this age of COVID and so many changes happening, and you're on your own for the first time, and then your roommate leaves, and then now you have to move dorm rooms. I mean, there's like all this stuff going on. Yeah. And you're in two a cappella groups, and you are carrying how many credits?
17
credits. I mean,
it's not just two acapella groups, two groups, but yes.
They're not acapella groups?
One of them is.
Oh, okay. And the other is it's cabaret.
A theater cabaret group. Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, you're just kind of blowing us out of the water in terms of how well you have done. You have kind of proven that being on your own was the right decision for you, and doing it your way was the right way for you. I can say for me, I'll just speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for dad. Yeah. Your behavior at times was very scary for us. Not because you ever were in any way a bad kid, because you were not. Like, you were not someone who was purposely trying to buck the system and break rules or anything like that. I think that you are not a cautious person. You are a risk taker. So you take a lot of risks, and you make some choices that are scary for us at times in terms of your own safety or eating or sleeping, not the sleeping enough.
Was a issue.
What was?
The eating.
Yeah, it still is an issue as far as I'm concerned, but I don't have to be witness to it anymore. I don't have to watch you eat ramen noodles all day long, but at home, that's the kind of thing that would cause my anxiety to go way up for sure. So then I would be asking you about that or your room or whatever, and you wanted just to live the way you wanted to live, but in the context of being in our house, we had certain rules and structure, and so at times there was definitely a clash of... Yeah. What we wanted from you and what you wanted to give.
Yeah, I think that especially as I got older, I felt like there were certain responsibilities that I felt entitled to, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you know, your philosophy was always my house, my rules.
Correct.
And while it makes sense, it wasn't what I wanted because you know, I just wanted to have independence and have freedom and live on my own terms because that's the type of person I am.
Right. And what?
And it still is.
Yeah. And my perspective is that this is my house and it's definitely my rules and you're getting to live here rent free. And you know, when you have your own place, you can do it your way. But while you're here, you have to do it our way with some flexibility. I mean, I think that there's been flexibility on both ends. I think that you've tried to adhere to our structure and we have tried to honor your need for independence. But I think that nothing short of you living on your own is really going to give you that sense of independence and being able to live your life the way you want to live it. Like if you want to sleep till 3 o'clock in the afternoon at school, that's on you. If you don't want to eat until 4 o'clock in the afternoon and then have it be ramen noodles and coffee, that's on you. But when it's in front of me, I definitely have a reaction to all of those things. And then there would be friction between the two of us.
Right.
True. But I am, as I said, very, very proud of how well you have managed everything since you have left home. Yeah. Very, very proud of you.
I think that our relationship too, since I've gone away, has been a lot better.
100%. Yeah. And I think for all the reasons we already said, because you got what you needed. I think we needed the space. And I'm just really, literally.
I mean, you were happy about being an empty nester too.
I was. But honestly, I think so much. I'm so wildly proud of you. I mean, and I mean that with every cell in my body. I'm just wildly proud of you. I am so proud of how you have figured this out. And I absolutely had some, not everyone did. I understand that some people say to me, like, I never had a doubt. Oh, I had a doubt. I had some doubts. Yeah. Would you get up for school? Would you get up for classes? Would you be so into the social scene that you aren't able to focus on schoolwork? You know, what's our plan if you're not able to manage your time, because time management is not your strong suit, or was not, at least when you were here. So I wasn't sure. And really from the word go, you have figured it out. Along the way, you just kind of figure it out as you go. And it's just very, very impressive, like everything else that you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. It's the truth. So what have you learned, as I asked Arlie, what have you learned out in the world, you know, as you're starting to get to know more people and more families? What have you learned about our family as it relates to the rest of the world? The other families that you're meeting.
Yeah. I would say that most people I know have family issues. Mm-hmm. And you know, everyone does. I mean, you know, we just talked for a while about our own relationship issues, but I think that the biggest thing that I learned was just how good I have it.
Oh.
Don't cry.
Crying, but that's really nice to hear that you've come to that conclusion. And I also think that we need to say, and we didn't say before, and I certainly need to own that a lot of our issues too is because we are so incredibly similar.
Very stubborn, both of us.
Well, it's not just stubborn. No. I think that you want to do things your way. I want to do things my way.
That's stubborn.
Okay, if you want to call it stubborn. Arlie told me a funny story. I said, oh, did you have dinner with Zoe last night? And she said, yeah. And I said, how was it? And she said, great. She didn't stop talking for 30 minutes.
Neither did she. She told a whole story too. All right.
And what I said to Arlie is, I have no doubt that when I have breakfast with Aunt Jill and Uncle Mike says to her, how was your breakfast with Robin? I'm sure she says, it was great. She didn't stop talking for 30 minutes. I think that we're both always kind of fighting for airtime with each other. Yeah. We both have very clear ideas of things and we want the other person to know them.
Yeah.
And I think that that tension has definitely been something that has been a struggle in our relationship, but I also think it is one of the things that makes me feel so close to you in so many ways, because it's literally like looking in a mirror. I mean, yeah. you are so similar to me all the good and the ways that I feel like I need to grow.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to come to you with relationship advice because you more often than not have been in the exact situation mm-hmm. that I was in, because we're very similar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
Yes. Well, that really makes me feel good that you feel like you realized how good you had it, because we worked really hard.
We have our issues. You know, I definitely am not claiming to be perfect.
By no means are we.
By no means. But I do think that the issues I have, I don't pin, most of them don't pin on family issues like I've seen other people have. Mm.
Thank you. And we really did try our best. And as I said to Arlie last week, I really did parent in a very deliberate way. And while I was far from perfect and made many mistakes along the way, like every other mom out there in the world, I feel really proud of the work that I did as a parent, the heart and soul that I poured into parenting you guys, and how beautifully you both turned out. I am so incredibly proud of both of you. It's ridiculous. Truly.
How do you feel it was like parenting me, the highs, the lows, just like how you asked me?
Yeah, I mean, it was very challenging at times, and it was also really, 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 really fun. If you remember, I mean, I joke about this a lot, but you know, me, Dad, and Arlie are very similar in the way we think, and you were always very different, and you added, you know, enormous color to our family. You just added a huge fun factor and kept us very much on our toes and always kind of needing to rethink things and see things from your perspective. And we wouldn't even have Nugget if it wasn't for you, because you were the one that's like,
I hope Dad is listening.
Yes, this family needs a dog, you said. You know, yeah. We're like, we don't want a dog, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, it's just one example of how much, right on cue, Nugget decided to go to the door. You know, you were just always pushing the envelope. And a lot of times that was really, really great. And other times it was really, really frustrating. But I wouldn't change.
I think a lot of people could say that about me.
Yes. Oh, right. Because who we are is who we are in all areas of our lives, right? I mean, we're the same way in our relationships with our parents as we are in our friendships and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You agree with that or no?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think that a lot of people could say that I always push the envelope, and sometimes it's great and sometimes you need to stop.
And I would say the same. People say the same exact thing about me. They're like, wow, she is dynamic. You know, depending on who you talk to. She is just amazing. She is like got spitting facts left and right. And then other people are like,
facts.
Did you bring it down a notch? So yeah, I totally get it. So switching gears, tell me a little bit about what it was like for you to move in with three other people, to move to college in the age of COVID.
Sure. So the roommate situation has been all over the place. I will now have had three different living situations, and it's only been about a little over a month. So my first living situation was, I have a suite style, and so that means that there's two half bathrooms, one with a shower, one with a toilet, and then one room with two roommates, and then one room with another two roommates. So that was pretty good. That was how I moved in. It was pretty good. Me and my roommates knew each other before we came, and we're already super close. Like we had a group chat that we texted in. We all met before we moved in. So I wasn't really worried about roommates. If there was anything that I wasn't worried about, it was my roommate situation, because I had already known them. So I wasn't worried I wasn't going to like them, because I knew that I did. So that was good. The only thing that I will say is I am a ambivert. So for those of you who don't know what that means, which my mom was going to, it means that I am very extroverted and very introverted. I need my alone time in order to function, but I also can't be alone for too long. they both coexist. So the biggest difficulty that I had with that is that I didn't have my own room. So I didn't have a lot of alone time. In addition, I am a theater major in two singing groups. So having you know, acting class and singing rehearsals with another person in the room, I felt guilty. If Catherine's listening, she'll probably say it didn't really matter, but I felt very bad. And sometimes it probably did annoy Catherine. Let's be honest. So that was the biggest difficulty, not the people itself, just, you know, not having my own space. Then once COVID happened and we went all online, two of my roommates moved out. So my roommate moved out and then one of my suite mates moved out, which left just me and one of my suite mates. And that, I have to be honest, has been glorious because...
Who called that?
You. Because I miss my friends so much and I was so worried because my like whole friend group that I made in that first 3 weeks all left. So it was like just starting from scratch mm-hmm. again and I was mm-hmm. terrified. And the reason I will to let listeners know that I stayed in at all was because I knew for all the reasons that we had already mentioned that going home would not be good for me. You know, I like to be on my own. I like to live by my own rules. And, you know, going back to the my house, my rules philosophy that my mom has, that didn't really work for me because, for example, you know, I don't have my own car, so I can't just go out whenever. And even if I did have my own car, I still wouldn't be able to go out whenever because my mom wants to know when I'm going to be back. And, you know, there's still curfew because it's her house.
And there's a lot of drunk drivers out on the road and nothing good happens on the road at 1 o'clock in the morning. But anyway. Right.
So, you know, and then it's like, you know, I wouldn't always have a car. And then, you know, doing feeder school from home in and of itself just sounds not good.
And in the city, you have access to public transportation and you could go anywhere.
Which I've been using. I go out to dinner sometimes with my friends. So, you know.
It's awesome. I don't care if you're out late at school, not only because you're not disrupting me when you come home, but because you're not in a car. I can't emphasize this enough.
I will say I was shocked. I mean, my mom FaceTimed me the other day, for all the people listening. My mom FaceTimed me the other day at 8:30 and I was going on the subway. I was about to go go out to dinner and she didn't care.
I do not care because what I have been trying to tell you and you never want to hear it, is it has to do with your safety. It is your safety.
You wouldn't think I was safe.
You're with your friends. You're with your friends going into Center City. You're not in a car with all the drunkards out there driving their cars while intoxicated. That is what I am most afraid of.
All right.
So just so you know, that's it. So if you want to go on the subway at 8:30 out to dinner, have at it. Enjoy yourself.
Right. But
right, that doesn't exist in Yardley, Pennsylvania.
Right. So going home would have been terrible for my mental health, and my parents were very okay with me staying because, as they talked about in the last podcast, if you're an avid listener to Robin's Nest, this isn't the college experience that most people have, but it's the college experience that I'm getting. And honestly, I don't know any different.
Correct.
I have never gone to college in a normal time. So all I know is online school and making the most of it.
and you're doing it.
Yeah.
And that's your college experience, is learning how to go with the flow, learning how to be flexible, learning how to adjust constantly to ever-changing information that's coming at you.
Yeah. So going back to the roommate thing, we kind of went all over the place. But mm-hmm. yeah, so I was just in a suite with me and my roommate, Reshma. And then we both just had our own room. And I think Reshma will agree, we both enjoyed having our own room because we got to see each other. We're super close. We see other friends. We have our friends together. We have friends separately. And we also have our own space. Mm-hmm. So all of that to say, it was great. Now we are moving to Morgan Hall at Temple, which for those of you who don't know, Morgan Hall is like the nicest hall, most expensive hall on campus. And I am moving for the same price that I'm paying for the dorm I'm in now.
And for those that are older like me who remember the show, what was that show? I'm moving on up to the east side. You're going to a deluxe apartment in the sky. What is that show? Oh my God, everyone listening, I know that you all know what show I'm talking about, but that's very much like what you're doing. You're going to Morgan Hall, which is like the east side. But you're paying
the south side is what
the south side, but you're paying the lower end price.
Lower price, right. Now we're moving in, so that's great. Very much looking forward to it. It's an apartment style, so we have two rooms, two full bathrooms, and a full kitchen. Not full kitchen, but a kitchen. And a living space, like living room area kind of thing.
Wow. Can't wait to see it.
I know. It's going to be amazing. Now me and my roommate, Reshma, my sweet mate, are going to be living together. And then we're living with our two other friends who we met. And I am very much looking forward to living with all of them, because the whole point when I moved to college, was that I wanted to live with three roommates as the freshman experience. And then I would probably move to something different. Like, I knew that I wouldn't want to do that forever, but you know, I wanted it for the freshman experience. So I'm moving back into that. And I will say that I'm so excited to live with them. And I'm also nervous because of not having my own room, being an ambivert, having my theater classes, having my singing, you know, things, you know. So it's
very much like life.
It's
a mix, both good and bad.
Exactly.
There's...
But I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear how it goes. And just a fun fact for the listeners, one of Zoe's new roommates, whose name is Natalia, is the daughter of one of my friends from many, many, many years ago, Bonnie Koss, who's actually going to be on the podcast in 2 weeks, I think. And just, it was pure coincidence that Zoe met her daughter at Temple, and now they're roommates. It's like crazy. Bonnie and I worked together at a place called Liberté in the 90s. And we were both middle managers together in a drug and alcohol rehab center. And I didn't even have Zoe yet, obviously, and she didn't have Italia. And then who would have thought that all these years later, our children would be college roommates? It's just a crazy, crazy small world.
It is.
So moving on, I'm very curious to know whether you watched the debate last night.
Yes, I did. So to kind of touch on something else, it relates, just bear with me. I'm in two groups at school, two clubs. One of them is called Pitch Please.
Pitch Please.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So Pitch Please is a queer advocacy a cappella group, like LGBT a cappella group. So that's that one. And then I'm in another one called Broadway on Broad, because we live on Broad Street.
It's very important for the people in Ireland to know that.
For sure, for sure. And
because I have listeners in Ireland. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Oh, you know, I think you might have touched on it.
Oh, okay, good.
So Broadway on Broad is a musical theater cabaret group. So we just do some musical theater songs, and usually it's in person, but again, all of these are online now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so going to the debate last night, we had rehearsal for Pitch Please, which is my queer advocacy a cappella group. And we all watched it together on Zoom. So we could all see each other's reactions.
That's cool. That's so cute. This is college in the age of COVID. We're watching the debate together on Zoom.
On Zoom. Mm-hmm. And my roommate came in. But no words really. I have no idea what SNL is going to do with that, because that was the SNL skit.
I know.
Literally, that was the comedy. And also the Philly shout out, only bad things happen in Philadelphia. COVID, he knows when to wear a mask only when he feels necessary. So, you know, it's interesting. God. Please register to vote. All the listeners, please, please vote for Biden. Please. There's just no other option. But anyway,
I kept thinking when I was watching them, like, where are the women? We need to have
Kamala
some women.
Kamala this country is going to kill. And also, can you imagine if AOC was running for president right now or moderating that debate?
Oh, I would like her moderating the debate. But I think Kamala is going to be amazing, because she made Kavanaugh cry.
Oh, I know.
So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what she does with Mike Pence. But I was kind of sick.
So mean. You're like, I'm really looking forward to it.
I have.
Oh, no.
I really, my overwhelming feeling during the debate. Thanks so much for asking. It was.
You just started talking.
I know, I'm kidding. But my overwhelming feeling was that this was a perfect microcosm of what 2020 is all about. Like this total chaos, out of control, no one, just complete insanity. Like 2020 is all about insanity and chaos. And right. That's what that debate was. And then the second feeling that I had overwhelming was, where are the women? We need some women up there running this country. I mean, that's all I can say.
I just posted something that was like, and they said women are too emotional to run for president. Like,
I mean, it was like watching, it was so ridiculous. It was just like watching a schoolyard.
Chaos. I was like, what is happening? Do they realize that we can't hear what they're saying if they talk over each other?
Like, I don't think Trump cares, honestly.
That's crazy.
So you're coming home, for those that don't know. So how Temple's working is that they are there until November for Thanksgiving break, and then when they come home for Thanksgiving break, they are home until they go back for the spring semester. God willing, they go back for the spring semester. As of this recording, they are going back for the spring semester. So what's your feelings after having this taste of freedom coming home for 2 months, living under Robin and Larry's rules?
Robin's nest.
Living back in Robin's nest.
I thought you were going to say that.
Living back in Robin's nest. What's it going to be like?
So believe it or not, I'm actually not dreading it. And let me tell you why.
God.
Well, because, you know, I was out here living life, mm-hmm. you would think I wouldn't want to come home, but
I would think you'd want to come home.
Okay, well, anyway, true then, because okay. The reasoning behind it is because I will say, like, when I came to Temple, I was very like, I don't want to talk to anyone from my hometown that is going here. I don't want to talk to, keep in touch with people from my hometown, really, like, a lot, mm-hmm. Other than, like, my best friend and, you know, whatever. But, like, I was like, I just want to have a new experience. And then when I come home, I'll see them again. And that hasn't been my experience at all. Because it's so new and such a different life experience here, mm-hmm. I have felt like so searching for some kind of like something I already know.
Normalcy. Familiarity.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like I have a few friends that go here and I've met up with them for dinner or, you know, FaceTiming my friends from home and stuff, like seeing Arlie, my sister. So like I didn't think I would want to do any of this and I really did. So and I feel that way now that I about coming home too, that I was so in the mindset of like, I want to be, have a new experience. I want to do this. I want to do this. And while I for sure don't want to stay home for the spring semester, definitely want to go back. Mm-hmm. I'm not dreading going home for 2 months because I do kind of miss, you know, where I grew up and a sense of comfort and not really, because I think at school you have to kind of like, you know, you're meeting new people, you're having new experiences, you're always putting your best self forward. Whereas in a sense of comfort, you don't always have to.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Okay. I'm saying like that you always have to try to meet new people, to try to, you know, whatever. You just
totally get it. You have to be on. Like when you're at school, you're trying to, you know, bring people into your world. So, you know, you're meeting all these new people. And when you're home, you can just be yourself and you can relax. And it's your own bed and it's your own dog and it's your own food in the refrigerator.
My own friends and people that I already know, I don't have to, you know, always be like, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. You know what I mean? Like, I can just be like,
hey,
what's up? Like, you want to do something later? You know what I mean? Like,
don't talk to me, mom. I just woke up.
All right. That was uncalled for.
This is pretty much you, though. No, I'm not a morning person.
This, why do I sound like that? I just have so many questions. Anyway, moving on. Back to the question at hand. Uh-huh. I'm not necessarily looking forward to it. I just don't, like, I'm fine with it. Like, I just know it's coming. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and there's going to be good and bad to that experience, just like there's been good and bad to being away.
Exactly.
All right, so we should be wrapping this up.
So what are you doing next week? Who's your next guest?
My next guest is my friend Lori. We're taking a break from family. You've learned a lot about my family, people.
So dad is just getting the boot?
Dad is getting the boot. First of all, dad barely talks. Let's start with that.
Oh, Larry Nekowitz would be a great addition to the Robin's Nest podcast, and I would like to speak up for him.
Okay, well, he'll be coming on.
Okay, great.
But not next week. We need a little break from Nekowitz chat. And so instead, we are moving on to my friend Lori. My friend Lori and I met in graduate school, and she's really an interesting person, and also, much like myself, has a lot of feelings about the goings-on of the world, and lots of feelings about parenting and world issues and COVID, and I thought she'd be a great next guest. So yeah, we will be hearing from her next week. I want to remind everybody that you can follow me on Instagram at
Robin_Nest_pod.
Thank you, Zay. And also on
Facebook. I did my research before coming on the show.
Wow, very good. And also on Facebook at Parent Assist. And I also have a book called Go Take a Bath.
A Powerful Self-Care Approach to Extraordinary Parenting. Thank you.
Couldn't remember the title. I also have a parent power video for discipline strategies for parents. And please also follow Arlie's podcast, Growing Pains.
Yes.
Because she has an awesome podcast. Her and her friends, Carly, who grew up together, talk about growing up together and all the growing pains of growing up, you know, and it's really good.
Yeah. If any college aged listeners,
yes.
They talk a lot about college, especially in the most recent.
Yes. And next week they're talking about dating. So that should be really interesting.
That will be interesting. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. Okay. So with that, I want to thank my guest, Zoe Faith Nekowitz.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. And talk to you soon.
All right.